Another Tuesday, another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in and making us a part of your day. All right, do us a favor. Go on our Instagram page at Bad Movies Worst Opinions. If you click in the bio, you can suggest a movie. For the final Tuesday of the month, we are going to do a movie that you guys select. It must be a scary movie. It must be ranked below a 6.0 on IMDb. You guys know the rules of the podcast. Really excited for this October to watch all of these scary movies. Let's get to it. Here's our review of House of Wax.
One's here.
Hey, where's that House of Wax? It is wax. Literally.
This is weird.
Looks like a hell of a party. Look how detailed this is. Tell me this doesn't look real.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. We welcome back, friend of the podcast, Whitney Edwards, joining us today. I let you pick the Halloween scary movie. We're only doing scary movies in the month of October, and you picked House of Wax.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks a lot for coming back to the podcast. This movie is ranked a 5.5 on IMDb out of 136,000 votes. Before we move on, I've never actually asked you these two questions before, so I'm happy to get your thoughts. What is your least favorite movie? What's the worst movie that you've seen in the theaters? What's your least favorite candy?
The worst movie I've ever seen in theater is this movie called Escape from Tomorrow. They illegally filmed it in Disneyland. It's just a weird vibe. The entire movie is so weird. It's the only movie that I've almost walked out of in a theater. I've never walked out of a movie, but that one almost got me. Least favorite candy, I'm just not really into any, like, gummy type candy, really. So, like, gummy worms, gummy bears, just not into it.
You know what? You're missing out on those nerd gummy clusters right now. They've really taken over the street.
I don't like them. That's my hot take. I just do not. I don't think they're good.
Yeah, you're the only person I know I've ever come across that doesn't love those. I mean, they have hit the game as a new prospect. And I mean, have ascended very close to the top of the charts.
Yeah.
They're not my favorite, but if you got a couple of them in a bag, please hand me one or two of them.
I'll leave them to everyone else.
So we are watching House of Wax today. This movie, again, is a 5.5 on IMDb. This movie was released on May 6th in 2005, a runtime of 113 minutes. The budget was $40 million. I am assuming a majority of that budget is in the last 15 minutes of this movie, because $40 million on this movie, especially when you look at budgets from these kinds of movies, $40 million is a crazy budget for this movie. That's Paris Hilton and the final scene of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you think about it, too, this movie has a lot of actors that were pretty decently big at the time. I mean, Jared Padalecki, Chad Michael Murray, Paris Hilton. She was the first one cast for this movie, and they built the rest of the cast around her. So I would assume a lot of that budget did go to casting.
This movie made $70.1 million in the box office, so not a double up, but certainly a success. This is a very weak weekend in the box office. So number one was Kingdom of Heaven. I've never heard of this movie before. Have you heard of Kingdom of Heaven? That was the number one movie with $19.6 million. House of Wax debuted at number two in the box office with $12 million. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy made $9.7 million. Crash, which won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yep.
That movie was not commercially successful, at least originally. $9.1 million debuted at fourth. And The Interpreter was fifth that week at $7.8 million. Let me get you guys the cast of this movie. Elisha Cuthbert is Carly Jones. Chad Michael Murray is Nick Jones. They are brothers. Brian Van Holt is Bo and Vincent Sinclair. Damon Harriman is Lester Sinclair. Paris Hilton is Paige Edwards. Jared Padalecki is Wade Felton. John Abrams is Dalton Chapman. And Robert Richard, he is Blake Johnson. Mm-hmm. That is the cast of House of Wax. Let's just start with this before we get into the plot. What is it about this movie that you love so much? Because when I told you the plan for October, mm-hmm. the first movie you said is, ooh, can we do House of Wax? What is it that you really
about this movie? Okay, that's not true. I actually suggested two movies originally. I said House of Wax or 13 Ghosts, which are both produced by the same production company, Dark Castle Entertainment. And the first couple years of Dark Castle Entertainment being a production company, they were putting out movies that I, like, to this day, just love so much. Like 13 Ghosts, House of Wax, Ghost Ship, which is an incredible, like, movie as well. I I don't know. I grew up with this movie. I watch it all the time as an adult. I love it so much. I just think it's so fun. It has the right amount of gore for me, the right amount of just like cheesiness, and like you don't have to think too hard about it. I love it.
Welcome to Foolish Club Media, your brand new home for all things Kansas City Chiefs and whatever else we want to talk about. Our beloved lineup of expert-led shows continues to bring you the most comprehensive coverage of the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Catch up on all your favorite discussions with Show and BK, or stop in for the Daily Fix with Ron Hughes. Keep up on everything happening in Kansas City with Brian B. Shinen and Brian's World, or stop in for the latest NFL draft buzz with Beach Season. Subscribe at Foolish Club Media on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our movie starts with, there's no better way to jumpstart your day than with some wax mask, Cheerios, and a little child abuse. We grab a bite at the local diner with our gang as they are getting ready to head to a college football game. I wrote this down. I don't know if you did this or not, but college road trips are a peak human experience. Everybody has to go on at least one of these. I have also done one of these road trips. Now, we didn't camp anywhere, but
Random field.
I have gone on a road trip to go to a college football video game. Some of your best memories.
Listen, we had very different college experiences, which probably is not shocking, but I wasn't road tripping to a sports game in college now. Like, that's never been a part of my human experience.
You know what? We're a little too old now to take you on one of these kind of trips.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go on one of these trips during your formative years. I can show you pictures. I still have pictures from my college road trip.
I would love to see those pictures.
Yeah,
Carrington.
I went to Missouri K-State. This was back in 2007. It was the game right before the epic showdown against KU. Everyone knew, hey, if Missouri wins this game, it'll be number one, number two. I went there, and let me tell you, that Jeremy Maclin put on an absolute show. I also got to see Michael Beasley play in college that day. I think they played, like, Western Illinois or something.
You could be making up these names right now. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Let's get back to the movie. The main road is blocked off, so it's time for a detour. We know this isn't going to end well. Our group is getting tired, so they decide to stop. The college kids are obviously low on funds. There's no tickets. There's no hotels. It's just vibes. They're roughing it and camping on the side of the road. You know what this movie's not really selling me on?
What?
This movie's not selling me on Chad Michael Murray as being the bad boy. Like, that's what's just that. They're not selling me on that. That guy was in One Tree Hill. That guy was in a Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to tell me he was the teenage delinquent? Nah, man. You could have picked a different role for Chad Michael Murray. He is not the bad boy.
But he's a cute boy, and we do love that. Because that's really what they're trying to sell right there.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, I thought, all right, if you're going to see Paris Hilton, they gave you the Paris Hilton scene. This is why I paid my money.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to go see Chad Michael Murray, he just randomly takes his shirt off for just no reason. There's no rhyme or reason for him to be shirtless next to
Carrington,
a roadkill pit.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for with Chad Michael Murray at any given point in time. I'm looking for him to be shirtless next to a pit of roadkill.
Why was Paris Hilton almost possibly pregnant in this movie? It has nothing to do with the storyline of the movie.
No, it doesn't. Like, they don't even, like, make it into, like, a, like, any type of drama. It's one conversation that the girls have. Like, oh, I'm kind of late.
And then she tries to have the conversation with her boyfriend, hook up, whoever, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to the conversation. It just felt like they were trying to give Paris Hilton some lines and some story when, bro, you were in for two scenes. You were in for the scene in the car where it looks like you're giving a little hot toppy. And then you were in the scene where you do the striptease. You needed no other dialogue. You needed no other storyline. You served your purpose in this film.
I mean, like, the script was already written when she was cast. And she, like I said, she was the first person in this film that they cast, which is insane to me. That they were like, okay, we got to start with this character.
Think about
that.
As soon
as we get Paige cast, everything else is easy.
I mean, Robert Zemeckis is in this. He is one of the greatest producers of movie history. You think he had the idea, all right, I got it. Let's do a teen slasher movie. Who can we cast? We could get Jennifer Love Hewitt. Nah, Sarah Michelle Gellar. No, let's get Paris Hilton. That's gonna bring him to the box office.
Okay, but also kind of genius, because Paris Hilton, before this movie was released, as part of, like, a promotional thing, she sold T-shirts that said, like, come watch Paris die on May 6th. Genius. Like, hilarious. Because, like, there was a lot of hate around her at the time with, like, the whole Paris Hilton of it all. And I honestly think it was a good, like, marketing move to cast her. as like this like kind of ditzy side character that everyone probably already thinks that she acts like in real life.
Can we give Paris Hilton a little bit of credit for really being a pioneer? That it felt like up until this point, to be famous, you had to have a skill. Mm-hmm. You had to be a singer or a dancer or a comedian or an athlete. Like, you had to be good at something. I'm trying to think of somebody like Paris Hilton who was famous for just being famous. It was like one day she just popped up in our lives.
Yeah.
And it felt like she was the number one person in Hollywood, despite me not really having any clue how she became that.
Yeah, no, same. It was just very suddenly like, oh, we all know who she is. And now she has a reality show, and now she has all these like things that she sells, and everyone talks about her, and everyone wants a Juicy Couture tracksuit because she wears them, like everybody.
Yeah, I mean, she was like at the front of teenage pop culture at that time. Mm-hmm. There's a term in music called industry plants.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like we did in pop culture. You don't really see that as much now. There's just so many more famous people, and there's way more avenues to be famous.
With social media.
This was pre-social media. Like, she was...
she was like an heiress, so like she had a ton of money. I think how like it came about, but, and like, you know, her best friend at the time, Nicole Richie, like her, like Nicole Richie's dad is super famous. And so I think
that at least made some sense. Like, yeah. It's never, you're like, oh, who's your dad? Oh, he owns the Hilton Hotels. Like, that was like never a thing until Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton was famous enough. They parodied her on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Like, London Tipton is supposed to be Paris Hilton, like the same person.
You always have a great fun fact. I didn't know this about that. Like, I had absolutely no clue. So Paris Hilton might be pregnant. Nick and Carly, the siblings, they're discussing their issues. There's an awful smell that's filling the night air, but the crew decides to drink and party through it. A random car rolls up to the function.
Hey, yo, man, you need something?
What does he want?
Hey, can you turn off your lights, please?
Blaring its high beams onto the campground. After Nick knocks out one of the headlights with an incredibly accurate throw, the car rolls off. There were so many early signs. And maybe we should go somewhere else. Like, maybe this isn't a good place for us to stop and rest and relax and hang out. The universe was trying to let you know, get out. Something's off. Something's weird here. They have like four or five more signs in this area of, hey, something is off here.
Oh, 100%.
They disregarded every single one of them.
Honestly, can we just talk about how wild it is to be like, you're driving, and then you guys all decide like, hey, like, let's just pull over and camp. And you just pull into like a random field. They go over this like rickety bridge. They have no idea where they are. Like, I like camping. I enjoy camping. I would never just go to like a random field in the middle of the night. Because I would assume it's probably somebody's property. And if some, like, if a truck showed up like that, I immediately would be like, this is somebody's property. We should probably just leave. We should probably go.
They told him to leave.
Yeah. They're like, get out of here.
Like, that truck rolls up and they like, no, we were here first. And then they thought they had squatter rights to this campground. It made no sense. So there is a suspicious sound in the night. Carly goes to check on it. It's nothing. This part blows my mind. The next scene, it's daylight. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. Wait. You're telling me these people camped overnight in this random location. Everybody slept until 2:30 the next day?
Wild.
That's crazy. 11, you could sell me on. Mm-hmm. Maybe even noon. You know how long you got to sleep outside? Eight people? Seven, how many people it was, yeah. And it's 2:30 the next day? That's crazy.
And you're sleeping, like, on the ground. That's not comfortable. Yeah. You're not sleeping, like a good 12 hours on the ground.
You got some incredible slumber. That is nuts. So our crew is packing up for the game. The funky smell pops back up, and of course, Carly and Paris Hilton go off to explore. Well, they find it. It's a roadkill pit. Carly's boyfriend's car is broken down, and he needs a new fan belt. He's going to stay with his car while the others go ahead to the game. A creepy man in a truck offers to give Carly and her bae a ride into town. And for some reason, they accept this strange man's offer. What would have to happen for you to agree to get into that man's car?
Nothing in the world.
Especially when you just saw what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was hauling dead deer into is the weirdest human being ever. And you're just going to ride with him?
They make a joke like right away of like, do we trust this guy? He drives around like roadkill for a living. And they were like, well, he's going to give us a ride to town. No, absolutely not. Like, a nice-looking human could pull up, and I still would be like, I'm probably not going to get into your truck in the middle of nowhere. Like, that's just a weird vibe. Also, I do want to point out, because this is, like, the first scene in the movie that I feel like starts a weird pattern where the two actors that play siblings, so, like, Carly and Nick, so Chad Michael Murray and...
Elijah Cuthbert.
Yeah. They have a little too much chemistry, I think, to, like, believably play siblings, which I just don't like in movies when it's like, they're a little too close. Like, after she falls into the pit and they're like, okay, we're gonna go with this guy who hauls roadkill for a living, then Chad Michael Murray pretty quickly was like, oh, here, take my t-shirt, you can change because you just fell into this pit of animals. I have an older brother. There's nothing in the world that would get my brother to take the shirt off his back and hand it to me. Nothing in the world. Not, I could fall into a pit of rotting animals and my brother would just go, oh, that sucks. You smell terrible. Like, there's no way he would take the shirt off his back. That's not a brother move. That's a weird move.
Yeah, that should have been a Wade move, but no,
yeah.
Nobody wants to see Wade with the shirt off, though. You didn't pay the $7.50 to see Wade with the shirt off.
No, that's true. No, I'm not trying to. Like, Jared Padalecki's a decent looking guy, but.
He ain't Chad Michael Murray. No, like, no, even I can see. He ain't Chad Michael Murray. They can no longer drive on the road into town. The town's called Ambrose. So the lovely couple decides to get out and walk the rest of the way. This decision doesn't please Creepy Man. I'm sure we'll see him again. Well, no one seems to be in this town. The couple decides to stop by the local church house for some help, but they interrupt a funeral. The owner of the gas station says to give him 30 minutes and he'll be back up to meet with them. Now equipped with all of this free time, it is time to go see the town's main attraction, the House of Wax. There is a closed sign on the door.
Mm-hmm.
They go into abandoned town. There is nobody in the streets. Mm-hmm. No one walking around. We don't see another human being. You now see this creepy place that says House of Wax and it says closed. We have to go in. I mean, there's no other thing to do. We can't just...
I'm going to be honest with you, Carrington. If you and I showed up in like a seemingly abandoned town, but there was a giant building that said House of Wax, like nothing would stop me from going into it. I immediately would be like, we got to go to the House of Wax. Immediately.
Whitney, I'm going to tell you something that you might know this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Mm-hmm. You want to know what kills white people in horror movies?
Curiosity.
Every single time. Every single time.
And it would get me, and I know it.
Every time.
I know I play into
That's
it.
That's why they don't make black horror movies, because I'm not that curious. You know what? I'm going to stay out here for a little bit. Curiosity kills white people in these horror movies every single... That is the leading cause of death of white people.
If you and I were in this situation, for whatever reason, and I wanted to go into the House of Wax, would you make me go in alone? You would wait outside?
No, I would tell you how silly this sounds. I would say, look around you. We haven't seen a single human being. We don't know anybody. Says closed.
You would pass up the house. I love a good House of Wax. I also have a bad House of Wax, so there's no way I'm passing that up.
Yeah, no, thank you. So Carly and Wade are just walking around what appears to be an abandoned museum until they spot Wishbone and an unknown person in the mirror. Wade goes to check out the noise, leaving Carly in the museum by herself. Naturally, Carly gets spooked and runs out of the museum. The gas station doesn't have the correct part.
I still don't think this is cool, just coming in here like this.
What? Well, look, the door was unlocked. He said he was going to be half an hour. He's been like 45 minutes. I'm sure he won't mind. You know, if your brother and his yes man hadn't come along in the first place, we all would have fit with Blake and none of this would have happened.
Once again, that's not my fault.
I mean, I don't understand his beef with me. I've always tried to be cool with him.
Nick's got beef with everybody. You just can't take it personally.
Yeah, I guess.
Nick and I always used to stick together, and then when we were in junior high, Nick would get into a little trouble here and there, and our parents would always, like, compare us. I was the good twin, and Nick was the evil twin, as he likes to say. He kind of got this image. He totally played it up as if that's what he had to be or something.
But the owner says that he has it at his house. While they walk up the hill, we learn a little bit more of the backstory on the museum. The boyfriend goes to snoop around after a bathroom break and finds all kind of weird stuff. Meanwhile, Carly realizes that this is the same driver from the weird truck that we spotted earlier in the movie. The lights go off and Wade is now locked inside the creepy room. Someone pops out of the floor and gets the slicing and dicing on Wade, giving us our first kill of the movie. You want to know when the first person dies in this movie? It's 50 minutes into the movie. Okay. Like, I stopped it because I was curious. My biggest complaint about this movie is it takes too long to get to the shits.
Okay. Did you stop it during this part where he gets?
I stopped it because I wanted to know. I was like, wait, nobody's died yet.
Because he hasn't, because he doesn't even die right now.
No, he's dead. He's alive, but he's dead.
No, like, he ain't getting out of that. I don't mind it because then, like, once people start dying.
A lot of people start dying.
Then it's, like, right in a row. And I kind of like that. And also, like, you get this decent, like, character. It's like subpar, but it's like, you know, character development,
They certainly tried to give you a little something. They tried to give you a story in this movie. I don't love the story in this movie, but they definitely tried to give you the story.
I do think, because like we just talked about how I would for sure be the kind of person who went to the House of Wax. I would not, however, be the type of person who used the bathroom in someone's house and then was like, oh, time to explore. Let's go into this room. There's no way I would do that. That's just disrespectful. And
that's past curiosity. That's being nosy.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'm not saying that you deserve to die at that point, but like you ended up in that room on your own.
Yeah. At that point, you are trespassing in that person's home. The person gave you the ability to go to the bathroom. Once you start to veer off and then choose your own adventure, you chose the wrong adventure.
I feel like if you opened the door and saw, wow, it's a desk filled with jars of dead animals, that's your sign to like, I'm just going to wait out.
I mean, they've sped past the other 8 signs that told you this is not a safe place for you. Why? I mean, what's one more? I don't know why you would now be worried about all of this. So Carly is honking to get Wade to leave the house, but Wade's gone. The owner of the truck comes outside, but Carly has locked herself inside his truck.
Open the damn door. This is my truck. Hey, what is the matter with you? If you don't open this door, I'm going to call the cops.
The guy from the campsite.
The owner tries to break into his own car to get her out, but she escapes. The creepy person from the floor is preparing to turn Wade into a wax statue. Carly runs into town after a possible kidnapping, and the whole town starts to light up. She runs into the church to try to get help, but realizes that all of the people in the church are wax figurines. There was no service, there was no funeral. I do think that the wax sculptures in this movie are really, really good.
Most of the wax figures that are in this church scene when she, like, runs in, like, most of the ones that are, like, sitting in the pews and then when they're in the movie theater later, like, all the people sitting there, those are just extras wearing, like, masks.
Oh, wow. I didn't know what it was. I was like, wait, all these things look good.
I know. But, I mean, like, have you ever been to, like, a wax museum? Because they can make wax figures, so incredibly lifelike, I think.
I've never been to one before, but if you've ever been to Vegas before, right by the Venetian, they have a big wax museum right there, and they kind of always, like, rotate a couple because they want you to obviously go inside.
Is it a Madame Tussauds?
Yeah. I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I was waiting for you to pronounce it at one point. You know? I know my limitations. I didn't know how to pronounce that word. I wasn't going to touch it. I was going to let you touch it. But no, that's the only time I've ever seen one of those wax things, at least in person.
I'm going to plug a wax museum that I love in real life. It's in St. Louis, Missouri. It's like downtown St. Louis. It is the weirdest wax museum I've ever been to.
Was it weirder than this one? House of Wax?
Honestly, yeah. There's like 3 levels to it, and I just could not get a grasp on what they were trying to do. The whole basement is like original characters that this guy just made. Like, they have like a Jesus exhibit next to like a Snow White exhibit, but she's missing all of her fingers. The weirdest wax museum.
You probably spent 45 minutes in there because I just saw Jesus with no hands and be like, you know, it's time to go.
Oh, I was in there for hours. Yeah, it's just, like, I'm going to see everything.
Oh, time to go. So the gas station owner catches up to her, and now she's getting tied and duct taped up, kind of like the little boy from the beginning of the movie. Dalton and Nick get into town looking for his sister and her boyfriend, but, well, one of them's dead, and the other one is about to be permanently displayed in the wax museum. Nick has a funny suspicion, though, about this gas station owner, and his sister is able to cry out for help from downstairs, and the two men get into a tussle with Nick being able to shake himself loose and free his sister from wax captivity. Further in the town, Dalton goes into the wax museum looking for his friend. He finds Wade half dead, half statue, but it's too late, and now he's about to become part of the museum himself. this is where the movie starts to escalate and we do get things going. I did like the scene where Wade is there and he's clearly alive and alert, but can't move. Mm-hmm. And Dalton's like, I'm going to help you. And he starts peeling at his face and his whole face just starts to fall off. That was a good scene.
Yeah. I mean, I like the gore aspect of horror movies. And so I really like when, you know, Carly's trying to like signal to her brother, like, hey, like I'm down here in the basement. And he's up top talking to this, to Bo, the gas station owner. And so she's putting her fingers like through a grate. He's glued her mouth shut. She can't make any noise. And he cuts off the tip of one of her fingers. Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah, I think this is one of the better scenes in the movie. Like you could see Chad Michael Murray. He had a suspicion that something was off. He's asking questions.
I don't think I've seen him.
This is the only gas station in town, right?
That's right.
Yeah, then they were definitely here.
I just told you I didn't see him.
Is somebody else working?
No, I own the station, and I would have seen
him. Well, I was just here a few minutes ago, and you didn't see me. You weren't even here.
Sorry. Can't help you.
You know what's going on. It's kind of building that tension. She's trying to alert. He's kind of playing it cool. I did think this was one of the better scenes. So Nick and Carly are learning more and more how fucked up this town really is. Well, back at Campground Zero, Paris Hilton is doing a little strip tease for her boyfriend, but their session gets interrupted by a music snafu. He was really concerned with having this song play during lovey-dovey time. It's not even like a sexy, sensual song.
No, honestly, like, radio cuts out, forget the radio. Like, we don't need it right now.
He was like, wait, stop, hold on. I have to hear this song.
Also, I do think it's funny how quickly Paris Hilton's character was like he leaves the tent and she immediately is like, I guess I'll go to bed. Like, just, like immediately she's like, lights off.
That might be the most realistic part in this movie. That's how it goes. Because once you kill the mood, it's dead.
Yeah, it's gone.
She was ready. She was ready to go.
Yeah.
And then you leave. She come back. She's sleep now. Yeah. Now you sitting there. You done struck out. That is that's the most accurate part of this movie. Well, while going to turn the music back on, Blake listens to the voicemail that Carly recorded earlier from her near abduction.
Hey, it's Blake. You know what to do.
Guys, where the hell are you? Listen, remember the truck that came to the campsite last night? I think we just ran into him.
By the time he realizes what's going on, it's too late. He dead. Paris Hilton gets away after almost being attacked by the creepy shadowy figure and runs into an abandoned garage. The game of hide and seek doesn't last too long because she meets her death by javelin throw. We restart a new game of hide and seek, but this time it's in the local abandoned movie theater with brother, sister, and the creepy gas station owner, Bo. He's not playing fair because he has a shotgun. Carly pretends to be a wax figurine until her cover is blown. Gas station man fires but misses. Nick gives him not one but two arrows. We can finally score one for the good guys. I think the movie theater scene and the tension is the best scene in the movie. He's walking around. He has the shotgun. She is trying to blend in. Mm-hmm. They give you you think that he finds her, but he doesn't find her. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to the front. He eventually spots her. He shoots. They have the back and forth. I did think that the gas station owner was dead at this point. I mean, he got an arrow straight to the chest. I thought he was done. That was not the case. He still had more.
It is a very common thing within horror where, like, with the villain, if you don't see them, like, die, like, head cut off, like their whole heart ripped out. If you don't see that happen, they're not dead.
He coming back. Mm-hmm. No, and Bo was back.
Yeah.
I thought then, I was like, when they left, I was like, oh man, they got him. They were checking his pockets. He wasn't moving.
There's still the other brother, even if he's dead, there's still the other one like rolling around with his weird wax mask.
You're going to laugh. You're going to make fun of me for this. I didn't put two and two together until
you thought it was the same person?
No, I didn't know who the other person was. I just thought it was some creepy shadowy guy. I had no clue who Vincent was until the very, very end of the movie.
They tell you at the beginning, the first scene of the movie, they established that they're brothers.
Maybe I just wasn't paying attention during this part.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It wasn't until Elisha Cuthbert goes through the desk and I'm like, oh, those two. Oh, I get it. It was like my third eye was open. Up until this point, had no clue who the other person was.
That's fair. I mean, like, they are played by the same actor, which I think is really interesting. But, nope, just two fully separate people.
Walking back up the hill, our siblings go to retrieve her cell phone, but it's no longer in the truck. And they decide to head inside to look for Wade and Dalton. Going to look for your friends in these horror movies, it never turns out well for you. Your friends are dead. If you are unclear where your friends are in a horror movie, they're dead every single time.
if you've been being hunted for the past couple hours, just assume that, like, they're gone.
100%. And
get out.
It cracked me up in this movie that either one of them kept trying to call the police. What makes you think that this town has a police presence? There should be nothing that lets you know that this town has a police presence.
I mean, they probably have, like, a wax police figure at some part of the town.
Yeah,
but
just
that's
very,
about
very
it.
Weird. He's like, wait, I'm going to call the cops. And then he picks up the phone. And it's like, bro, you think this place has cable and yeah. cell phone service? This doesn't make any sense. While inside, Carly learns that the gas station man and the creepy man are twins who were conjoined but separated at birth by a controversial procedure. Gas station man is not dead, and he's back inside the house. The creepy man, Vincent, he is also not dead and back inside the house. Job not finished. Carly and Nick finally locate their friend Dalton, but it's too late. They find Wade. It's also too late. They find creepy gas station man, but it's not too late for a fight or to set this bitch on fire. Carly's team takes the lead 2-1 as she kills Bo by hitting a double off his noggin. This is where the movie takes a turn into absolute crazy town. I hate the final act of this movie. I think it is so bad. I'm very curious your thoughts on the end of this movie, but I hated the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's seen as like a really impressive feat of practical effects throughout like film and like horror communities, because the director was very like big on like he didn't want a lot of special effects, he wanted practical effects. So they like had like all like this like melty kind of like stuff for like all the actors to like be up in, like the bed that she's in at like the top of like the House of Wax when she's like fighting Vincent is like a mix of like melty kind of wax and peanut butter, and she like kept actually getting stuck in it. So I think from like a practical effects standpoint, like when you like look for that kind of stuff in film, it's so fun to watch because it's like, how did they do this? How did they do this? Like, obviously, I think it's silly. I think that they really leaned into once we found the photograph of the twins when they were conjoined. We really leaned into the let's put this imagery in the rest of the film, like when Vincent goes to like slice through the door and she's pushed the wax crib across and he slices through like the wax conjoined twins. And even like, cause like Bo falls first and then Vincent, when he dies, falls on top of Bo and they land where their faces are smushed together like they were conjoined. And I feel like we really lean into that, which I think is stupid, but I think it's silly. I think it's fun. I think it's a good end to this type of movie. I enjoy it.
So it's time for the finale. Carly and Vince are face to face. She's trying to reason with him, but it's too late. She scores another run for the good guys, killing Vincent. This place is coming down and coming down fast. Our siblings narrowly escape from a burning wax inferno, but they get out safely. The cops and medical attention finally arrive. This town has been deserted for almost a decade. It's not even on the map anymore. Our movie concludes with us learning that there were actually three Sinclair boys, the two dead that we know about, and the creepy roadkill man from earlier in the movie who gave them the ride into town. And this concludes House of Wax.
Kansas City, food-wise, once only known as a barbecue town. But thanks to the Taco the Town podcast, everything has changed. Kansas City has rightfully taken its place as a taco paradise, smack dab in the middle of the USA, and all of these tacos belong to us on the Taco the Town podcast. My name is W. David Keith, certified tacoholic, and I live a very taco-centric lifestyle. On the Taco the Town podcast, we are tasting every taco in the town. We shine a light on all of the taco-rific tacos Kansas City has to offer, unearthing great taco memories, checking the latest stories in taco news, and interviewing actors, reporters, chefs, politicians, and musicians about their love for tacos. If you love tacos like I do, you're gonna love Taco the Town. Available wherever you get your taco podcasts. A proud member of the Lotus Pod Podcasting Network.
Are they setting this up so they can potentially give us a sequel? Is there a sequel to House of Wax? Because to me, that is the only reason to have the ending that you have is, well, we're going to continue this movie. And now the creepy, you know, roadkill man, he is going to be the villain for the third movie. But you set this character up, and then it's the, oh, wait, there's actually three of them. We see this guy. He waves as they drive off, but it feels a little bit empty if this is not going to become a series, kind of the way Final Destination did.
Yeah.
Or Jeepers Creepers.
I do think that during, like, this movie came out in 2005, and I think that during this time in film, especially horror film, there was, like, a big push for making things into franchises and, like, having, like, a big thing, you know? And I think that they were setting it up for, like, in case it did well, they had an option to do a sequel. But it just didn't do great in the box office. I mean, like, when you, because, like, you know, like a $40 million budget, they made $70 million, but, like, when you factor in, like, marketing costs, they really just about broke even. And so they didn't do well enough to get a sequel, which is a shame because I would have loved a sequel. I love this movie.
There was planned on developing a prequel for this movie, but the plans did not materialize because the movie was not a smashing success at the box office. Yeah. So they did kind of leave themselves open. If this thing really hits and catches on, we give ourselves the ability to either do a prequel or a sequel, but it just didn't hit that way.
If you watch, like, a lot of horror movies that come out in this time period, a lot of them had that, where they would, like, leave themselves open to one way or the other to, like, create that franchise because it was such a big thing, you know, like, Final Destination was a huge thing at the time. Saw was really taking off. Scream had, been, like, a huge franchise. And so, like, you look at, like, House of Wax, where, like, they end with, like, oh, there's that other brother. And, you know, like, you start with, like, that scene in, like, the 60s where it's, like, the mom and, like, Trudy, like, you, like, we could easily do a movie about her opening her House of Wax. And then you look at, like, other movies like Ghost Ship. That movie also ends with, like, that cliffhanger of, like, oh, no, like, that guy's here again. Oh, no. It was such a common thing just in this time period, I think, with horror movies.
This movie made $42 million on DVD sales and video rentals. Mm-hmm. This did feel like a movie that during that, I don't know if Redbox is a thing. Yeah, it's probably a little too late in this. But, I mean, this is a perfect movie to rent from Blockbuster 100%. At this time that, hey, it's a Friday night. You look at the cover. All of the people on the cover are recognizable. That was a big way of how you decided what movie you were going to watch. We didn't have all the tools now to find out. Now, if you want to see a movie, you pull up your phone, you watch the trailer right there, and you can make a decision. Back then, cover art was really important in deciding if you mm-hmm. were going to watch a movie or not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, like, I absolutely, during, like, this era, like, this, like, mid-2000s, I was the kind of person who, every Friday night, I would be begging my parents to, like, take me to Blockbuster. And, yeah, I would just walk the aisles and look at the covers of the movies. And whatever looked the best, I would get. And so, like, this cover is, like, really cool. It's, like, that face kind of melting. And, like, you do recognize all the names. Two of, like, the main guy actors were on Gilmore Girls, which was huge at the time. Like, I think it was, like, a perfect storm for, like, rentals for sure.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this movie has an approval rating of 27% based on 161 reviews with an average rating of 4.29. The site's critical consensus reads, quote, bearing little resemblance to the original, House of Wax is a formulaic but better than average teen slasher film. Roger Ebert watched this movie, which catches me off guard. He gave this movie 2 out of 4 stars and wrote, quote, House of Wax is not a good movie, but it is an efficient one and will deliver most of what anyone attending House of Wax could reasonably expect, assuming it would be unreasonable to expect very much. You know, in 2005, when you look at that cast, you know exactly what you were going to get. And I think mm-hmm. the movie does deliver on that. There are far better teen slasher movies to me. Like, this isn't up there for me. This isn't a movie that I plan on going back to. But, you know, we all have different tastes. I can see how this movie is certainly. And you really like Chad Michael Murray and you really like Gilmore Girls. It makes sense why you really like this movie.
This movie, I think, came out in, like, the perfect time for me where I was starting to just love horror films. Because, you know, 2005, I was, like, what, like, 8th grade-ish? And so, like, it was, like, just about that time that I was, like, I'd go spend the night with friends, and we would always watch, like, horror movies, and we were reaching for stuff like this. And so, like, when I was in high school, like, this movie was, like, a big deal. And so now as like an adult, I reach for this movie all the time. I said this to you earlier and you rolled your eyes at me, but I probably watch this movie like every other month, like for sure. Every 60 days, I just end up watching this movie.
What do you think House of Wax gets right? What has kept you coming back all these years?
I mean, a lot of it for me for sure is like the nostalgia, like the music, and it's fun because it's music I listened to like in high school. Like the end credit scene is like My Chemical Romance, like Helena. Such a great song.
I was out. Once that screen went black, I didn't see a second. I didn't see anything else. I didn't see another part of this movie.
So I think the nostalgia is a lot of it. I personally just honestly love wax museums. I think they're so fun. I think that's like a big thing for me. I don't know. I just think it's a fun movie. I just like, it's one of those that you don't have to think about it. You don't have to like put too much into it. You know exactly what you're going to get out of it, which is why I love slashers. Like I know what I'm going to get out of a slasher 9 times out of 10, which is great.
I think the cast is something that they got right. I think if you look back at the name power that they had, I mean, Elijah Cuthbert, I wouldn't say that she turned into a movie star, but she was the lead of a couple different movies. She was in Girl Next Door. Mm-hmm. She was the lead of this movie. Chad Michael Murray, I would say that he was a teen star at that time. Robert Richard was a star in his own right. Paris Hilton's in this movie. I think that each of the cast members had a very distinct role in their way. Wade, Dalton, Blake, Paige, I think they all feel very different and familiar but fresh in a way that I enjoyed. I think the cast is definitely something that this movie got right.
100%.
Where do you think this movie went wrong? What did they get wrong?
Ooh, I mean, like, there are just, like, those cheesy moments. The part that, like, I hate the most when I'm rewatching it every time, and I've already brought this up, is, like, I feel like the chemistry between the two siblings is just off. It just feels too, like, romantic almost, and just not, like, at one point, like, Chad Michael Murray, like, leans against a car as he's, like, talking to her, and he's, like, leaning over her, and, like, I don't know, like, as, like, I have a brother, and, like, my, like, if my brother ever got that close to me, I would be, like, what are you doing? Like, get away from me. Like, even in, like, a weird situation like this.
For me, the thing that this movie gets wrong is this movie starts incredibly slow. And for a teen slasher movie, I don't think you can have your first kill past 45 minutes into the movie. Where I understand what they're trying to do is that they're trying to build up character development. I don't really know if you're going to House of Wax for character development. I think you're kind of going to it for the stuff. Now, the second half of it is very, very action-packed. But it just takes a little bit too long to me to kind of get going and for us to learn the plot of this movie.
Oddly enough, I also hate
the ending.
Oddly enough, I know you do. Oddly enough, they actually had a different opening filmed for this movie where it's the brothers like luring this different girl like off the highway, chasing her, killing her. And then so like when like we like first see Vincent like working with like wax figures, he's like kind of like sculpting like a girl figure, which is that person who was in the original opening scene where they killed someone in the opening scene. And that just didn't do well with test audiences, which is why they replaced it with like that flashback scene of like them as like kids. Like originally you would have gotten a kill within like a minute.
House of Wax is rated 5.5 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right for this movie?
I think it's too little. And I know that you're not going to agree with me. I think this is a really fun movie. I think it's great for 2005, what teen slashers were at the time. I would rate this like a 6.
Yeah, 6 is too high to me. I actually think that 5.5 is the absolute highest that I'm willing to go on this movie. I would probably give this somewhere between a 5.2 and 5.3. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair for this movie. I don't think this is a bad teen slasher by any means. But if we pull up IMDb right now and I say find a teen slasher movie from 04 to 06, I think I find maybe 10 or 15 movies that are better than this. If I'm going to watch an hour and 45 minute movie, I'd much rather watch Final Destination. I'd much rather watch Jeepers Creepers. I'd much rather watch The Ring from this time period.
I mean, like, those are all classics. Yeah, 100%.
I'm just saying, it's like, if I just in that scary movie vibe, this just isn't one of those movies for me. Now, this might be one of those things. I didn't watch it during the time period, so some of the nostalgia and going back, I just missed out on that part of it. But this movie, it just didn't do it for me.
No, that's fair. And I knew it wouldn't. I knew you weren't going to like this movie when I brought it up.
I did not hate it, though. We watched some movies that I was like, oh, my goodness, I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I did find myself checking my phone and seeing, hey, how much more do we got in this movie? It felt like a slog at times that I shouldn't feel that way. I mean, we watched Freddy vs. Jason last week. I didn't feel like that. Like, I loved Freddy vs. Jason. I was ready for a reboot of either one of those characters. You know what? I think we can leave House of Wax back in the 50s. We can leave it in the 2000s. I do not want them to remake this in 2024. I am okay.
I mean, it wasn't even really a remake of the original House of Wax. Honestly, it was more of a remake of this movie called Tourist Trap. But that movie wasn't recognizable by name, which is why they called it House of Wax.
This was another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. And the only rule of the podcast that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Don't forget, be sure to go on our Instagram page. You can suggest a movie for October. We will review that movie at the end of the month. Next week's movie is Scream 3. Excited to watch that movie. Fun fact, that was actually the first movie that we ever did. We did like a test episode before we launched the podcast. We did Scream 3. We will actually finally post a review for Scream 3, which is, oddly enough, rated below a 6.0 on IMDb.
That's crazy. You know, I did that test episode with you guys, and I'm not doing this, like, actual screen. And I'm really excited to hear, like, what you think of it now, because it's been a while since you watched it.
Yeah, it hasn't been since last year, so no, I am excited to watch Scream 3. We appreciate you guys listening to the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. We'll catch you guys next week.